Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Kais, and as mentioned, I'm a doctoral student at Loma Linda University. Sigrid James sends her apologies for not being able to make it today. She's actually my dissertation chair and has been instrumental in putting together and helping me implement this research project, which is really a relatively small feasibility study meant to understand culturally sensitive ways of gaining access to the Afghan refugee population, a hard-to-reach group in San Diego, California, for conducting prospective, qualitative, and large-scale quantitative mental health studies down the road. So I will tell you this, good intentions, you know, being an Afghan-American myself and also being familiar with the culture and the language is really not enough. And according to one of our key informants, you know, with regard to this community, dealing with hard-to-reach populations, trust is something that has to be earned, and that's a general theme that we came across through our interview. So gaining trust with the population is the overall general theme, and I'll go more into that in a little bit. So you can look at that on your own. I have quite a few slides, you'll see, and I'll just skip through some of them. And I probably didn't mention I have no relationships to disclose, so put that in the slide there. So the Afghan refugee crisis is a deep-seated issue. Afghanistan has been at war for over 40 years now, all starting with the Soviet occupation and ending today with the current U.S.-NATO intervention as a result of the 9/11 attacks. In the 1980s, 6 million Afghans sought refuge in neighboring countries such as Iran and Pakistan, and thousands came to the United States and countries in the EU. At the end of 2009, we still had 3 million Afghans who were seeking international protection, and since 9/11, 10,000 Afghans have been resettled in the U.S., 10% of those in California. It is not known how many are actually resettled in San Diego County, where our research is occurring, and but it is considered a refugee-impacted county, San Diego. So. Refugees, or Afghans like other refugee groups, present with an array of pre- and post-migration stressors, as you guys may be familiar with. I'm not going to go too much into the studies, but I will tell you that the studies highlight significant levels of PTSD and depression in Afghans resettled in the U.S. Okay, and these are cross-sectional or quantitative studies. Some have larger samples than others, considerably larger samples than others. And qualitative studies really highlight issues surrounding coping. Okay, they talk about, they really humanize this whole issue of the migration process, you know, they contextualize experiences with cultural conflict and financial issues and also issues surrounding social support and isolation, all of which go to affect the mental health of Afghan refugees and other refugee groups. You'll find that in the literature. So gaps in knowledge remain. Culturally bound conceptions of psychological distress have not been investigated, and it's important for practitioners to understand culturally bound conceptions, the causes, the risk factors, the symptoms, the treatments, the disease consequences of diseases like depression. It's important to know how Afghans view these things before treating them, and maybe the biomedical model is not fitting for these people. So we're looking at that, and I'll talk about that in a little bit. So severity of the psychological distress of refugees arriving post 9/11 is virtually unknown. There's no studies in the U.S. Except for one small qualitative study. There's really no large-scale studies focusing on post 9/11 arrivals. Those arriving in the 80s and 90s haven't been focused on since that time either. So that's another issue. We don't know what has happened to Afghans who resettled here, you know, 10, 20, 30 years ago. Significance of this study is that, you know, Afghans come here with really no psychological support from Afghanistan. WHO indicates that there is really no mental health infrastructure in Afghanistan. And also, you know, this puts them at great risk for mental health problems. Okay, not just this, but pre- and post-migration stressors as well. And they seek psychiatric services as a last resort, due to stigma-related issues. And they may possess unique conceptions of mental health, which are shaped by their Islamic faith and cultural traditions that dictate help-seeking behaviors. So the purpose of this study is to really identify culturally sensitive strategies of gaining access to the refugee population, to the Afghan refugee population, which is needed for conducting prospective mental health-related studies. The first aim was to conduct semi-structured interviews with key informants from the refugee community, Okay, and we ask these individuals, you know, questions in relation to the population's characteristics, also factors for mental health-related issues, and we also ask them, you know, about their perceptions on strategies of gaining access to this population for conducting future research. The second aim was to triangulate this data by conducting two focus groups, one with adults and one with youth from the community, to see what they thought of all these things. And you'll see that a limitation in, you know, doing or conducting a focus group with youth is that, you know, you have a convenient sample of individuals who are really not really suitable for answering questions surrounding mental health issues, but they did provide insights in other areas. So we'll talk about those method. Our sample included 5 Afghans and 2 non-Afghans. One member was part of our clergy, and we had 3 community leaders, 3 healthcare providers, age range 32 to 73 years, education range from 1 seminary education to philosophy doctorate, 1 female, 6 males in the sample, and this table right here pretty much breaks it all down. Okay, and those asterisks indicate that Afghans taking part in the study were settled here as refugees. And our first focus group, so that's our key informant sample. Now moving on to the focus group. The first focus group was with adults. It included a convenience and snowball sample of 7 individuals. Demographics range from 39 to 83 years, all males, high school diploma to master's degree, range in education there. Most have been in the U.S. for a number of years, as you can see, and a lot of people spent very little time in Afghanistan during the war, and a lot of people actually resettled in a third country of resettlement, such as Pakistan or Iran, and then migrated to the EU and, you know, came here eventually under refugee status. Okay, inclusionary criteria, you know, being an adult Afghan, originally arriving to the U.S. as a refugee or asylum seeker. And then our convenience sample convenience and snowball sample of youth included 8 participants, part of a local soccer team, and I'll explain to you why we used this sampling strategy here. Age range from 21 to 31 years. One person didn't provide us with his educational achievements, but, you know, we can assume that he probably, you know, gained a high school degree or less. 8 to 12 years in the U.S. with a mean of 9.8. That really tells me that a lot of these youth came here post 9/11 to the U.S. So again, same inclusionary criteria as the last one there. Procedures, you know, what we gained entry into the community by approaching an Afghan clergy, a member of our clergy, and he served as a credible reference to other prominent Afghans in the community who served as gatekeepers that would give us access to people who participate in focus groups and future studies that we're conducting currently. So data was collected over a 5-month period, and we also attended a refugee health forum where we recruited 3 healthcare providers, one of those healthcare providers being an Afghan. Okay, standard procedures for gaining consent, and we recruited individuals telephonically and by email, which was followed by home and office visitations. Once rapport established, we entered a Afghan community center where the study was advertised as one that seeks to understand the life experiences and difficulties of Afghans, which was advice given to us from one of our key informants. And data collection, as you can see there, for focus groups was during April 2011. They were conducted in Dari, which is the language, my language of origin, and the national language of Afghanistan, and 60 to 75 minutes. I better hurry up. Okay, so data collection sources, semi-structured interviews, and focus group discussions. I, you know, started focus groups with an icebreaker. I made an admission that I wanted to learn from them, okay? And I used an interview guide, as you can see there, as I mentioned earlier in the aims of the study. I'll go over here. Analysis was informed by qualitative descriptive techniques. We didn't want to really make a claim that we use grounded theory. We're just presenting the data as it is. It's not spun. It's not theorized. So Afghan refugee population, these are the insights that we gained. The population is estimated to be anywhere between 4,000 and 6,000 individuals, but this number is debatable, and tracking hasn't been done sufficiently in the past few years because we really had no community center for the past few years. Characteristics and trends. Most refugees arrived in the 80s and post 9/11. And I would just say that post 9/11, a lot of people from the Tajik and Tajik and Hazara ethnic groups arrived. These people were faced much persecution during the era of the Taliban, and these people also have lower SES, and they reside in eastern part of the county. And then mental health-related issues. Our key informants noted that refugees undergo a honeymoon period upon resettlement, meaning that they... Okay, so my time is up, but I would just like to say this, that trust is foremost. Clear communication is essential, making your purpose evident to the people, and them knowing that you're not some sort of government investigator, that you're a student, that's very important, and also strategies for gaining access, not using incentives because it's seen as a form of bribery, using community events for sampling and recruitment strategies, and so that's pretty much it, and I appreciate your time. Yeah.